What's up, everybody? Welcome to The State of Wild, episode 70, a regular YouTube video web series podcast thingy. My name is Meowth, and as usual, I'm joined by my good friend, Corbett Games. And tonight, we are also joined by a very, very special guest. We've got Martian Boo back on the podcast. Martian, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
How have both of your weeks been? We're up on a Saturday night. We're recording this because we've got nothing better to do. How are y'all doing this week?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I got to have some friends down. Restrictions are all getting eased, so had a really good time over the weekend. It was good.
And what about you, Martian?
I can't think of anything IRL interesting I've done recently, but things have been going good. Can't complain.
Yep, can't complain. Staying busy, all that kind of good stuff. I feel like that's always my answer. Just like, how are you doing? It's going. So, Martian, for the people out there that might not know who you are, do you want to just give a short little intro on who is Martian Boo?
Martian Boo is a wild enthusiast who plays and streams Hearthstone most days every week.
He also does YouTube and all that kind of stuff, so make sure you guys follow him on all the stuff. We got to sell it properly here. Come on.
Yeah, I've been going ham on the YouTube recently.
Yeah, you have, and it's been quality content.
Thank you.
So, we've got a ton to get into, right? It doesn't feel like a lot has happened this week, but like looking back, I was just like, damn, there's actually been so much to talk about. But before we get into all of that, we do have to cover our usual housekeeping stuff. So first things first, if you guys do enjoy the content, make sure you guys drop a like, comment, and subscribe. It's a small thing, but it does actually support us a ton.
And of course, you can always support the show by becoming a patron at patreon.com. You get a whole bunch of sweet perks and stuff. It's a great way to support the show. In addition to that, you get a whole bunch of benefits when you come join the State of the Wild Discord server. And even if you're not a patron, it's a great place to come hang out and talk about all things Wild Hearthstone.
All right, let's get into it. So the first thing, Balance Patch was announced this Tuesday, right? So Tuesday we had Bug Druid was hotfixed. It's kind of crazy that it was only Tuesday because it feels like it happened a couple of weeks ago. But Bug Druid was patched on Tuesday, and they also announced that there was a balance patch coming on this upcoming Tuesday. So the day after this podcast comes out, there will be another balance change. First thing, Bug Druid, your Jerry Rig Carpenters will no longer give you 0 mana 6/6s as well as 12 free healing whenever you draw them. But let's talk about the real nerfs and buffs. So the first thing, Garrote, so this is the kind of the rogue combo card in Standard, is now only going to shuffle 2 bleeds instead of 3. Pretty significant nerf, right? Reducing the damage that this card does by 1/3. Speaking of 1/3, Mage Quest going from +3 spell damage reward to +2 spell damage reward. And we have Razormane Battle Guard going from a 2/3 to a 2/2. This is the druid minion that reduces the first taunt you play each turn by 2. And then, in addition to these nerfs, we also have a buff to Renew. So Renew initially got nerfed from 1 mana to 2. Now that Priest's win rate is in the dumpster in Standard, it's getting buffed back to 1. So I'm going to start off, Corb. I know a lot of people that listen to the show might not play Standard, and I know you're much more in tune with Standard than I think I am, and maybe Martian. But do you want to give a little bit of context or background as to why these cards are getting hit, and you know maybe why Renew is getting buffed?
Yeah, sure. So, looking at Garrote, Garrote Rogue is a very, very dominant deck at this point at Top Legend. It's definitely one of those decks that isn't as popular at lower ranks because it's got an insane skill cap, like a genuinely really crazy skill cap. But at High Legend, it really does dominate that part of the meta. Lifesteal Demon Hunter as well was sort of becoming less popular, which was a really nice counter for the deck. And so, this is also a play pattern concern, where Garrote Rogue could very frequently OTK on turn 6, 7, 8. Turn 8 was very consistent. So it's a combination of just how good it is, how popular it is, and the play pattern all at once. And they're trying to just make it a little bit easier to counter with things like armor, which previously didn't actually do that much. as for the Mage Quest, I mean, a lot of people, I think, have had big issues with the questline mage deck. Again, a bit opposite to Garrote Rogue, where Garrote dominates High Legend, questline mage is basically very prevalent all throughout ladder. And it's the same kind of thing, you know, lots of damage from hand, a play pattern that people don't like. And so they're just trying to tone that a bit down. And as for Battle Guard, that's very much a pretty serious balance concern. Like, Taunt Druid is really, really, really good right now. And You know, if you do nerf Garrote Rogue, you kind of have to do the Druid as well, because it's one of the very few counters to the Druid deck, is Garrote Rogue. So, you know, it's a balance issue. So those are pretty much the three things. Warlock and Hunter are looking pretty good post-patch, but we'll have to wait and see. And as for Renew, I mean, it just should be at one mana, right? Like, Control Priest is really bad, really terrible. They nerfed it because they needed Priest to die and go away quickly. And they went after that in Apotheosis, and now Priest is bad, and they can bring it back as a one mana card. And you know, all the one maker stuff and the Scorpids, they're probably not as big of an issue as you keep adding cards to the random generation pool. So there you go.
Thank you for the context. And now I'm gonna talk a little bit about Wild, because I don't think any of these nerfs actually do anything in Wild outside of maybe the Razor Mane Battle Guard. I don't think any of these are actually super relevant. I don't know, Martian, what do you feel about these nerfs and buffs in context for Wild?
I think Renew getting buffed makes Irella slightly more interesting, mm-hmm. except that Reno Priest is not a deck right now. So,
yeah.
I've been using a single Garrot in like a spell-based Kingsbane deck, where the Kingsbane is kind of a draw engine. But I've tried cutting that card. I don't think it even affects that deck, and that deck's hardly even existent. So,
like right now, these are probably very inconsequential. But I do think a card like Battle Guard is important, because it was one of the building blocks for Druid down the road, right? Like it's such a busted card for an aggro Druid deck, even if it's not great right now. And so that's a relevant nerf to me. And I've always liked Renew and, you know, the big Priest deck, and, you know, Reno Priest was always okay, especially, like you're saying, with Zyrella. So mostly those two going away is a bit of a bummer, I guess, for some people that like those archetypes in Wild.
Yeah, I do remember you saying about Battle Guard, it's like you would be very surprised if this went to rotation, yeah. without getting nerfed.
It's so good. Yeah. It's that and Void Touch. They're gonna get Void Touch at some point
one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's maybe more... I will say, Battle Guard going from a 2-3 to 2-2, it does hurt that card, but I will say I've been playing a lot of Aggro Druid trying to make it work, and, like, even with a 2-3 Battle Guard, compared to Evenlock, Starclears, Pyre Warrior, and Odd Hunter, like, it's just, it doesn't do enough for Aggro Druid, so, like, it doesn't really feel like Aggro Druid was at the point of this hurting that deck, because the deck already kind of sucked.
I love that we have Dark Lair and that little trifecta that we're used to.
It is very popular at Legend on NA. Whether I think it's a tier one deck or not is besides the point.
Are you in Dark Lair denial?
I am in Dark Lair denial. Last week, I did not purchase a ticket to take a visit over to Dark Lair Island. I still don't believe it. After a week of playing in the post match meta, nope, still do not think it's tier one. I will refuse. I mean, let's move on to Renew really quickly. I do think that is a nice buff for Big Priest and Rena Priest, but I think both of those decks, unfortunate to say, are not ladder decks, right? They're decks that you can bring to something like THL or a tournament or anything like that, but they are not very good ladder decks if you were trying to win, I should say, right? Because I do know that people will enjoy playing them no matter what rank they are, if you really do want to enjoy it. But these decks have been struggling against stuff like Odd Hunter and Pirate Warriors and stuff like that. And I don't think Renew is that big of a deal. Maybe it will be, but I don't think it's that big of a deal to actually help them become relevant in the Wild. I don't know if you guys agree with that.
Yeah, not for sure.
Yeah. All right. So that being said, I think a very anticlimactic set of nerfs and buffs, right? I think a lot of people, I don't know why, but I do know a lot of people in my Twitch chats and my Discord were very sad to not see any changes to Hunter or Warrior. Right, those the two big decks in Wild that people are complaining about right now. I don't know why anybody expected anything, but we didn't see anything. I will say, Core did put out a tweet that they're keeping an eye on Wild. They didn't want to make any changes.
The usual radar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The usual comment as to, you know, things are on our radar. We're keeping an eye on things, but I don't think you should expect to see any changes for Wild anytime soon. All right, so... all of that being said about nerfs and buffs, let's just kind of talk about what's happening now in terms of Wild. And so I know we wanted to start off with Martian, you've had some hot takes about the state of the meta with Bug Druid running around. So let's just open the floor up if you want to go ahead and start with your comments.
Yeah, so the Bug Druid deck, the Jerry rig that was bugged to draw Hidden Oasis and set its mana to zero. So you got that free 6/6 on 2 with Taunt that came with a free trade because you could heal it up. I actually had more fun during that meta than I've had since Stormwind came out, because the questline decks were deleted. Like, I was not seeing any Pirate Warrior. I wasn't seeing any questline Hunter. I got to play Raza. I was playing a bunch of Shaman. It was good times. I have never played the Bug deck, by the way. Not one game.
I guess I will answer. Do you think that you had more fun because you were queuing into 50% Bug Druids and you were playing decks that beat those? Or was it more, oh, I get to play these decks because they've all moved from these quest decks to the Bug Druid deck, and I get to play something like Rena Priest that you like really liked and like you haven't played for like 3 or 4 months?
Well, I felt like I had more freedom, so I was able to goof off. I spent like half the time on Shaman and half the time on Raza, and then it got changed. So I don't know if there were like more fun things I could have done there, but I saw some people were running Unstable Fel Bolts in their Warlock decks to beat it. I feel very restricted on what I can play, at least prior to the bug coming out. So it was a breath of fresh air for me. And I guess winning never hurts. So having a bunch of matchups where you just kind of get to Shadow Word Death the 6/6 and then their deck is over was good.
Yeah, it's funny. I also found it like very refreshing. And just like, for me, like the way I viewed the bug situation was, it was going to be like this funny little incident for like 4 or 5 days. And it would be a funny little anecdote of like, oh, hey, remember that time they bugged that? And that was the meta. And it, like you said, you did get to play more things like Shaman. Like Shaman had a great win rate generally into those Druid decks. And it did give you a little bit of freedom because they did push out, you know, Hunter and Warrior. It had really strong matchups into both those decks. And it did create this little weird dynamic where it kind of was like very oppressively powerful by itself, but it just allowed you to play different stuff that we hadn't seen for a while. And so yeah, it was sort of a nice breath of fresh air. You know, I don't know if that makes all the hate comments that I got for playing it worth it, but still.
Yeah, how many hate comments did you get on that YouTube video promoting the
I got like there's a lot of Twitch chat, and then a lot of Twitter, and then a lot of YouTube, yeah, and Discord. It was a lot.
Yeah, I will say that those comments do make me wonder genuinely. Like, I know Martian, you've had these thoughts before. Like, if they just, you know, ban these quests, right? Ban this Hunter quest, ban the Warrior quest, kind of giving you a really quick glimpse into what the meta could look like. Is what I felt like it kind of did. That little, oh, look what could have been over there on the horizon. Instead, we have this, you know? I think that might have been a big role in that, don't you think?
Yeah. I think I'm at the point where I only even want the Hunter one gone. Like, you can play enough taunts and beat the Pirate one. Like, there's stuff I can do against that. It's just the Hunter one that I think really gets me.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with you about that Warrior one. Sorry.
Well, I like taunts beat it, don't they?
Do they? I feel like you have so much value. Like, I guess you need infinite taunts. You have to be playing Taunt Druid at that point.
Or Evenlock.
Oh. Evenlock, you at least have a way to actually hit him in the face, I guess. That's true. You have a way to end the game. But yeah, I don't know. I have been in the thing. I was playing Rena Shaman myself, and I lost my Barista. And the fact that I, like, almost got outvalued as the Reno Shaman by one goddamn quest that started in their opening hand on turn one was maybe the most eye-opening and frustrating thing that I have like ever experienced. It was so horrible, man. I won that game, but I was so tilted by the fact that I almost lost that game, the fact that I was like in control for like 75%, but that quest did so much over the course of like 15 turns that I almost lost. It was kind of gross.
I've actually lost pretty close to fatigue against Pirate Warrior a couple of times just because I like bottom 7 my Shudderwalk. But I've been running not Reno Shaman with like double Galaka Crawler, double Macaw, like double Serenite, and it's been pretty good against the Pirate Warrior.
Yeah.
Does pretty bad against Odd Hunter and Ignite Mage and Celestial Lime.
Yeah. As most things do, right? That beat Pirate Warrior. I mean, let's use this as to transition, right? I do want to talk about kind of a few decks that have popped up post mini set, post bug, right? Because we didn't really get to experience the mini set until post bug fix. But I think the big winner has been Reno Shaman or Slow Shaman decks have seen a very crazy resurgence. So I do want to shout out Higgs Bacon, who hit rank one legend on NA with a Reno Shaman list that kind of, I don't know, inspired a lot of people to play it. I don't know if he solely had the the driving force behind that, but I think people seeing Reno Shaman do well and hit rank one legend was just like, hey, we should mess with this stuff again. Kind of centered around Macaw, doing a lot of good Macaw things in Shaman. So I know you guys have been playing a ton of Shaman. I know I've been playing a ton of Shaman. How are we feeling about Reno Shaman or Galakrond Shaman kind of long term and some of the matchups it has against other top tier decks?
Yeah, right now with Reno Shaman, I think it benefited a lot from the Druid bug. And I don't think it's great, I'll be honest. Like I've had success with Reno Shaman. You know, I've been playing it a fair amount, actually, over the past like week or so. But I still think it's pretty mediocre. So, yeah, I just think that the matchups into the things like Odd Hunter, they're just so absurdly brutal. That it's kind of hard to have it be too strong, but it creates some pretty interesting games. Like, I've had a lot of fun playing the Reno Shaman versus Darklair matchup. That's been really cool. And the deck is definitely better than it was, right? Like, Makor is a fantastic card for the archetype. It's just not quite there. And again, it just doesn't quite have enough to handle the Odd Hunters of the world. But yeah, it's been fun to play, so...
I used to love Reno Shaman, but I just can't get into it anymore. Something about Zephyrus adding a bunch of garbage to your hand during the Infinite Shudder turns just makes it not a fun deck. I don't know. But I've been playing a lot of not-so-Reno Shudderwalk Shaman, and that's been pretty cool. I think that it has the exact same problems, but like the Ice Fishing combo lets you get away with doing a lot of stuff. Yeah. So you can beat the board-based decks like Dark Lair or Evenlock or... sometimes Pirate Warrior.
Have you been playing the Galakrond list, or you've been playing like Pure Shudder?
Pure Shudder, just Infinite Shudder.
Yeah, that's the classic way, the only way to play Shudderwalk Shaman. Have you tried any of that double Ice Fishing shenanigans? And I got inspired by your comments on Twitter. I played a little double Ice Fishing Shudderwalk Shamans myself.
I played There's a bunch of Murlocs that are kind of good, right? So, like, there's the Sir Finley, so you can copium against the Odd Hunters, and there's the Mutanus that everyone always wants to run that doesn't really have a good target right now. And then there's Cookie, which is decent value in healing. So I thought, like, double Ice Fishing as a draw engine instead of as a combo tutor. I played it, like, a couple of games with double Grizzled Wizard for consistency on finding it against Odd Hunter, and it just... it feels real bad. So I stopped pretty quickly.
I ended up running... I started off with Cookie as, like, my fourth Murloc. And it was... Cookie sucks, man. I love Cookie as a card and a concept. But Cookie sucks, dude. He's so bad.
It needs to be a battle cry. Like, yeah. He's terrible, I think. But, yeah.
So bad.
I played with him against Pirate Warriors, and he felt great.
Your matchup against Pirate Warriors is so nice already, though, with Galakas and Flurgletox and Macaws and stuff, that you, like, you don't really need the Cookie, and he doesn't do anything that the Shaman deck, like...
Oh, he's not right to put in. Oh, okay. Fair enough. If it's not Flurgle and it's not Toxvin, you don't put it in your Shaman deck if you want it to be the best it can be.
But I will say, I did have a higher win rate with the double Ice Fishing deck than the one Ice Fishing deck in my tiny sample size, and that's all that matters, and that proves that double Ice Fishing is better. So, I think I only lost, like, one game because I had four Murlocs on my deck and I didn't hit the Flurgletox out of, like, 12 or 13 that I had played. And so I was like, all right, this is insane. And, like, you see the Finley and it gives you hope against the Odd Hunters of the world. It doesn't do anything, but it gives you hope. And that's...
Did you pull it off ever?
I did not. I was only running one Wizard. But like I said, it gave you hope, and that's all that matters, because you're losing anyways. At least you lose with hope. But I will say, like, I do think that Reno Shaman's like you said, a lot better than it used to be. And I, like, again, props to Higgs, who I think farmed Dark Glare and those Bug Druids to rank one Legend. And so it's very good into those two decks. And so, I don't know. Like, I think we might actually have to include a deck list on this next VS report, Corb, for Reno Shaman. I don't think we can get away with not posting another one.
Well, probably not. Yeah. I mean, as long as if the archetype gets more attention, it will get more refinement. Because, yeah, it was just prior to the mini set. Like, it was so all over the place. Like, it really was one of the craziest. Like, people were just trying everything. There was so many tech cards that it was crazy. I hadn't really seen anything like that. So, yeah, it seems like it's coming together, and people are trying a whole bunch of different approaches, you know, with the whole Galakrond, non-Galakrond stuff. But I'm still not a believer. Like, I won with it. I had a great time with it, but it's still not very good, in my opinion. So, you know.
I really liked the blurb about Reno Shaman in the VS report. That was some excellent pasta.
Thank you.
You can thank Corb for that one. Yeah. I just want to take a little bit of a step back here, Corb. So you think that, like, somebody hitting rank 1 and rank 2 legend on NA with Reno Shaman makes Reno Shaman not good. But you bought a ticket into Dark Lair Island without very many people seeing success, you know?
Well, I mean, I mean, people just want to see, like, high legend ranks, and they assume that the deck has to be good. Like, I always push back on that every time. I know you're winding me up, but let's just say that, yeah, I don't think it ever means very much, but yeah.
Yeah. I just find it funny, because I don't believe in Dark Lair. I don't think I will until I see definitive proof.
You'll learn, you'll see. Yeah. You'll learn.
All right, let's move on to the next hotness. And this next hotness, I think I'm going to have to actually read this card name out loud, because many of you probably have never heard of this card before. Let's talk about the new hotness. That is Recombobulator. And this is a 2-mana 3/2 from GVG way back in the day with the battle cry, transform a friendly minion into a random one of the same cost. That might not be exactly what it says. I'm just reading from memory here. But basically, it is a revolve on a stick for a single minion, okay? And people have been playing this in a bunch of different Warlock decks, specifically Dark Glare and Evenlock in combination with Golchire Knoll. So the idea is you play a 1 or 2 mana 5/4 with Rush, you take a value trade, right? Remove a cannon, remove a pirate, remove something, remove a happy ghoul in the mirror. And then instead of being left with a 5/1, you hit it with that Recombobulator and turn it into a random 10 drop. So I will say that I have not played a ton with Recombobulator, but I have seen a lot of Recombobulator, and it looks really, really fun. But besides the fun factor, how are we feeling about it actually being a competitive option?
I love it. Like, if it's like bad, it's not bad enough to not play it. It's so much fun. I've been playing Recombobulator Even Warlock for 3 days straight. It's, I don't know, just like getting Yisharge on 3, pulling a giant is addictive. Plus, it's a throwback too. Back when the card first came out, people were playing, like myself, were playing it in Handlock just to heal the giants. So it's like, hey, it's back in Handlock after all these years.
Yeah, I love that that line where even if it is bad, it's not bad enough. Like it doesn't seem that bad no matter what, just because it does some insane things. Like, it really does. I just have to call it what Shia is, a wild streamer. Shia calls it just the funny. Whenever he pulls off the combo, he's like, hey, do you want to do the funny this turn? I'm like, yeah, okay. I love the funny. but yeah, like, whether you slap it in Evenlock Dark Lair, it's a nice mix up. It reminds me of a lot of, like, Mogu as, like, a Mogu value trade and then evolve that.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing. So it's a little bit more awkward, obviously, but it's very, very powerful. I mean, I've had Tarantus's naked, you know, he hasn't been changed yet, but I've been facing down naked Tarantus and you know, scrap yards as early as turn 3, and that's not very fun for my my poor beloved Reno Shaman.
Oh god. Imagine if you had, like, actual Tyrantus as a Reno Shaman. Like, what do you do against that? You can't do
it. Ice fishing and prey. I mean, you gotta hit that. Flurgle.
Yeah. I mean, I will say it does look like a lot of fun. I mean, do you want to talk about what are you cutting in those lists for Recombobulator for people that are trying to find space?
Yeah, I cut the Braised Dead and the Spice Bread. Like, Spice Bread, I'm already kind of iffy on in general in Evenlock. I'm not entirely sure, but I don't think you really need it. And Raystead is a bit questionable, but I feel like it probably gets a lot worse if you're running Recom, just because the Recom is really bad to get off the Raystead, and the Evolved Minion is obviously really, really bad. And that was the thinking, but I don't know. The deck's definitely got a couple of flex slots. Like, people might want to cut and the Cult Neophytes or like some removal, either like Dark Bomb Drains, like Dark Bomb potentially. But yeah, Marshall, what did you end up cutting to find room?
First I tried, I don't know if you guys have seen Ben from Works, Even Lock list, where he's running Hooked Reavers, Unstable Fellbolt, and Spellstones and stuff. I think I cut like something ancillary from that. It might have even been Mules. To put it in there.
Don't say that. Don't say you're cutting Mules. No.
Yeah, well. So then I started facing all the Reno Shamans, and they were barely outvaluing me. So I changed the deck completely. I have like, oh, and the Dark Lairs that I didn't have anything to do during the Lothep turn. So I'm running Entitled Customer, Abyssal Summoner, Gul'dan, Demonic Assault, Even Lock with Recombobulators and stuff. And oh, I started in like 300 and I got to top 20. So if it's bad, it's not that bad. And Gul'dan comes in clutch. Comes down with like big old taunt demons and does his thing.
Yeah. This phrase that keeps getting thrown out, it's not that bad. Imagine if Recombobulator ends up becoming like the meta list. Like, how crazy would that be? Like, what world are we living in, where Recombobulator comes out of the shadows to, I don't know, be a really, really good card and one of the best decks in the format? Like, how crazy would that be?
I think we might be there. I think most people are running it. Sometimes they run the pirate plunderer type thing in Dark Lair over it, but I usually see Recombobulator.
We've had Beardo come back this expansion, Meowth. I mean, if Beardo can come back into a tier 1 deck, then anything's possible.
Well, Beardo saw play before it came back to the tier 1 deck, right? Even if it was in a really bad deck in Exodia Paladin, at least it saw play. I don't think Recombobulator has ever seen like competitive wild play at all.
Until now.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so let's move on to the next deck that we want to talk about. This is another Warlock deck. Surprise, surprise. Warlock having a bunch of good decks. Whoa. But let's talk about Cute Lock. I don't know if this is spread out, I think, to any other servers, but there's a bunch of Cute Lock players on NA right now, thanks to Hopper and Triple Lift, jamming game after game, hitting good ranks with it. So Cute Lock, this is primarily taking advantage of the new one-cost spell, the one-mana summon 2/1s. I think in the words of Hopper, it's a good card in the list, but it's not what makes Cute Lock good, right? I think right now it's just taking advantage of decks that are not really running Defile or a bunch of board clears, right? So it feeds on the Odd Hunters of the world. I don't know how it fares into Dark Lair, but I'm assuming, I don't know, if you're hitting top 5 Legend with Cute Lock, you're probably pretty good into Dark Lair, right? I don't know if you guys have played much Cute Lock yourselves. How are we feeling about Cute Lock?
Sometimes they can't get on board because you Defile them early, and sometimes they just stick 3 things and suddenly they're each 7/7s and destroying you. I feel like you can't leave anything on board at any point ever in the game, but I haven't played it myself.
It's I don't know, it's fine. That like Cute Lock's fine. It's another deck that I think people are hitting high legend with, but it won't change my opinion whatsoever. Like, it's competitive, like it's good. But I think it's pretty bad into something like Pirate Warrior. And yeah, Dark Lair does seem to be probably a positive matchup, because it does seem like they just go a little bit too wide too quick. But yeah, Defile obviously changes all of that, so we'll see. Yeah. But Cute Lock is almost always a deck that it feels like it's way more popular at High Legend than anywhere else on ladder. Like, it's been like this every time, I feel like.
Yeah, are we considering this like the new Dark Lair? Is that what you're saying?
No. Yeah. I think people that just happen to like Cute Lock just happen to be, you know, at High Legend, I guess.
I mean, I will say, I think Cute Lock is a very valid laddering option, right?
It's okay.
Because it beats up on Hunter and it beats up on stuff like Dark Lair. I think you have to avoid Ship's Cannon, like most board-based aggro decks have to. You kind of just have to dodge Ship Cannon, because it's a miserable card to play against, and now you have 4 of them, because Cannoneer is a card, right? So you kind of have to dodge all 4 of them if you want to beat those matchups. But I will say, I think Cute Lock's a lot of fun. Cute Lock's very fun, and a very quick game, so if that's what you're looking for, right, I think it is a very valid option.
Is Cute Lock doing all right because people are scared to play Pirate Warrior in High Legend because of the Dark Lairs?
There's only, yeah, a Pirate Warrior hasn't been that popular at highest ranks, so I think that's a big part of it. But, I mean, yeah, it's like not much Pirate Warrior, a lot of Dark Lair. And for some reason, Hunter isn't as popular right now, I feel like, as it should be. But I'm not sure how the Hunter Cute Lock matchup would go. I know, like, Odd Paladin did pretty well into Hunter, but I don't know about Cute Lock. I'm assuming it's good for the Cute Lock.
How's the Hunter Dark Lair matchup?
I think it's pretty close to even, but slightly favored for the Hunter.
Really?
I think the Hunter. Yeah, I think the Hunter just gets there against Glare. Yeah. Yeah.
I was talking to Lasagna today in chat, and he was saying that it is very odd Hunter favored. So I have felt like, I will say I'm a very bad Dark Lair player because I haven't touched the deck in like 4 months. But when I was relearning the deck, it felt like Odd Hunter was pretty miserable to play against, especially if they get something like... Because you don't have Dark Lair anymore, right? So you can't take advantage of stuff like Toxic Reinforcements like you used to. And so it ends up just being a lot of damage really, really quickly, and you don't have a ton of healing, right? You have Touch of the Nathrasms, and you kind of have Drain Souls, right? And yeah. Most of the time you're Drain Souling your own stuff because they don't really play any minions. And so... In my experience, I will say again, I'm not a very good Dark Lair player, but it has felt very Odd Hunter favored.
How much Odd Hunter have you guys been facing?
Oh god, you're gonna make me look up my deck tracker stats real quick. This month I have played against 15% Odd Hunter, so not a terribly high amount, but it is the third most popular deck that I played against.
I feel like I see them few and far between. Like, I don't know what happened. Maybe there aren't enough Pirate Warriors to farm or something.
Well,
I think people are just bored.
I was about to say, like, we're talking about Recombobulator and Evenlox and Dark Lairs. We're talking about Rena Shamans being really, really popular. I think people are just bored. Like, the mini set didn't do a ton to shake up Wild, right? And we had the bug that shook up Wild, but that lasted for 4 days, and then we kind of went back to the same old status quo. And I think people are just bored more than anything. Like, I will say, I saw somebody today hit rank 1 legend on EU with Odd Hunter. So, like, I know the deck is still good, right? Mm. And it's they posted their stats. Like, the deck is still good, but I think it's exactly what Corp said. I think people are just bored of, the top decks like we normally are. Like, we normally see towards the end of an expansion cycle.
Mm. Odd Hunter does have that Odd Paladin samey vibe where I think maybe it's a lot of the time not worth playing. Just because it's not any fun.
Well, you say that, but then people still play Ignite Mage. And that's a very popular deck at High Legend. And that is literally the same thing.
Ignite Mage is thrilling during the Ignite turn. You play a very boring game until the Ignite turn. Okay, so here's why it's so fun for me. My APM is abhorrent. So it's always like, am I going to get there? Am I going to get there? Is my computer's hardware good enough for me to get there? And sometimes I make it. So maybe that's part of it.
that's a very fair point. Okay, that I will give you that. But outside of that one turn, I guess you're right. I don't know. I feel like Odd Hunter does kind of have a little bit of that Odd Paladin vibe, where like it was a very, very good deck, but people just didn't want to play Odd Paladin for the longest time. But I don't know. Like on the last VS report, we had what, like 15% of people playing Odd Hunter in Legend, and I think people are just getting bored of that specific deck. Maybe
I don't know. It was new.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. I wonder, Corb's looking it up right now, I'm wondering how much it's kind of fallen off since the mini set. Because I believe it was 15%-ish before the mini set released.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty consistent still. It's about 13% of Legend in the 3 days since the bug was fixed, and if you look at like Diamond 10 and up in the last 3 days, it's still around like 15%. I don't think it's really changed very much overall.
Yeah, so it might just be our personal experiences of not experiencing a lot of Odd Hunter. I will say, I want to talk a little bit to wrap up this section about Pirate Warrior. All right, I'm surprised that I am personally not seeing more Pirate Warrior, given the fact that it got two good cards, two nice additions to the deck that make the deck better. And I wonder how much of that is like people are just kind of bored of Pirate Warrior, but I also wonder like how much of it is like Rena Shaman feels like it's a good matchup into that, right? And people are just, or Dark Lair is a really good matchup into Pirate Warrior, and so it's kind of maybe dropping off at higher Legend ranks compared to like Diamond 5 to Legend, or lower Legend ranks. I mean, Martian, you've recently done the climb, right, from middle of Legend up to top 20. have you kind of experienced a drop off in Pirate Warrior?
I see almost no Pirate Warriors.
Really?
I think it's the Dark Lairs. I see an Odd Hunter here and there, but Pirate Warrior is few and far between.
I'm jealous. I am very jealous.
Yeah. Pirate Warrior is definitely like, it's a very bad matchup. And like Pirate Warrior is very bad into the Dark Lair. Like, I think it's probably close to a 70-30 kind of range. Like, it's very, very good. And Dark Lair is now up to the point where it's about 5% of the meta across like all of Legend. And even like Diamond through Legend, it's still not as popular. Still like hasn't quite trickled out yet. But at Legend though, like 5% or 6% is like a pretty good chunk, and that's enough to at least deter people a little bit, I think. So I think Pirate Warrior might have gotten just a smidge worse, because previously it did only have those like couple answers, where it did only have the Odd Hunter and the Even Warlock, and it's like, oh, Dark Lair, that's another like very brutal counter that's really starting to catch on. So it makes a lot of sense why players are starting to push away from it at the highest ranks, where Dark Lair is probably even more popular and might even be as high as over 10%, I'd say. So it makes a lot of sense. As for the Pirate Warrior list, though, we pretty much have definitive proof. Like, the stats are all rolling in and everything. Smite is really good. Like, Smite is really, really, really good in Pirate Warrior, in case people were wondering after we raised the question in the last episode.
You guys raised the question. I just got to put that shame on you guys in Rumble.
Yeah.
It's not me. Okay. I was a believer in Cannoneer and Smite. As sad as I am whenever I see him, I was a believer. I have to take my wins when I can, dude. I have to. Sorry.
How's Cannoneer doing?
Pretty good. Like, it's not absolutely incredible, but considering it's like a 3-drop, you don't expect it to be doing that amazing. So it's pretty good, yeah. But it's no Missile Smite. Missile Smite's really good.
And Smite off of a Juggernaut feels awful. I'm sure it's fun when it happens for you.
I mean, if you're the Pirate Warrior, then yeah.
I had a game where I generated one off of a Sky Raider, and then I summoned one off of a Juggernaut, and like, even though I was very like, I was slow to complete my quest because I had two smites in my hand, right, the fact that I went smite into smite into smite and then I just kind of won the game was very gross. Like, it is so much damage, dude. People compare it to, like, I had somebody comment about how it just a 6-mana Leroy, why would you play that? It is not a Leroy. It does way more than 6 damage. It's kind of gross.
There was actually the same kind of comment from either the VS report or something, or the podcast, where they kind of said it's like just a reckless rocketeer in decks that don't play pirates, and it's like not very good, right? Like, people were just wanting to throw Missile Smite in random decks in standard, but in the decks that are actually playing the pirates, then it is not a reckless rocketeer. It is very, very, very good. And in Wild, I think it's obviously more extreme. I think in Wild with Pirate Warrior. Just because you do have like so many cheap 1-mana pirates as well, like all of a sudden the small time buck, you know, as a 1-mana, you know, 3-damage charge is very good.
Yeah.
Have you guys played Maxi's hand buff paladin?
No. I heard rumors. I didn't actually see the list myself, but someone mentioned the words like, oh yeah, there's a Mr. Smite Brigand hand buff paladin list going around, and yeah, once I said it was Maxi, It all came together.
So we just buffed Smite with it twice. A ton?
Yeah.
Smite.
The Brigands come down as like 6-6, 7-7. Charge with the Smites.
I'm kind of digging it, I'm not going to lie. I'm intrigued.
He runs Captain's Parrots.
Oh, shit. And now I'm even more intrigued. You say the word Captain's Parrot, I'm in. I'm down to play the deck. I'll have to grab that list. Well, drop it down in the comments if we can find it before the podcast goes live. But that sounds like a lot of fun, actually. Okay, I want to wrap up this with one last question for you, Martian. Are you a believer? Have you purchased a ticket to Korb's Dark Lair Island?
Do I think Dark Lair is a good deck?
That wasn't the question. Have you purchased a ticket to Korb's Dark Lair Island? Come on.
Yes.
But that wasn't very definitive.
Yes.
He can be bought off.
I think it's good.
Do you think it's in that top tier decks that we had prior to the mini set, where we were talking about we have Pirate Warrior, Odd Hunter, Evenlock? Do you think it's in that tier?
Yeah, it seems competitive. I've mostly just been playing Evenlock, and I have to be positive against them. That's like the matchup that I hope to find. But I'm running double entitled customer, so I'm kind of immune to the low feb turn. But otherwise, like, it's even lock, but it gets to run Lotheb, so has some advantages.
It's Broomstick Warlock, right? That's what we're gonna call it, because it's we're naming it after the most important card.
I liked Cockroach Warlock. That I thought that was brilliant. That was Cockroach, right?
Yeah.
Cocklock.
Yep. Wow, not very PG, but that's all right. can't name any YouTube videos like that. So
no,
we got to pick a different name. Yep. All right. I will die on my hill, even if I die here alone.
yeah.
All right. So let's move on to the last part here, where we're talking about the next set already, which is kind of crazy given that we had a mini set release a week and a half ago. But there have been leaks or data mine sources that have come out about the next expansion. And so I guess we won't say anything just in case people don't want to hear that, but it's the information's out there if you guys want to find it. That also included a new card. And so just in case people don't want to hear it, I guess we don't really need to talk about the card itself. I don't really like talking about it until things are kind of official, right? Just in case. But I do want to talk about the fact that we are already looking like we're getting expansion spoilers / card reveals starting as early as next week. So like when the mini set, not the mini set, when the nerfs and buffs come out, I'm also kind of expecting pre-orders for the next expansion coming out, which is kind of insane. Like I said, given that we just had a mini set a week and a half ago. So, I mean, I think I can say the name of the expansion because it is something that we have predicted here on the podcast multiple times about Alterac Valley. So this is kind of Horde versus Alliance, kind of the big, I don't know my WoW lore, but it's like the big, is it a big raid or a big fight scene /
it's a PvP zone.
PvP zone. Okay. So it makes sense, right? Horde versus Alliance. It does seem like that's what the last expansion is going to be. But it's, I just want to talk about you. We're getting an expansion in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, which is kind of insane.
Yeah, Deadmines came out like yesterday, right?
It came out on Tuesday, right? It came out this Tuesday, for me at least.
Yeah, the pacing is so weird. You know, again, just because of the mercenaries, because everything got pushed back, it does feel like there's going to be some whiplash here. There's going to be a lot of stuff that we are about to experience with the whole reveal season kicking off, and then the projected release would probably be around the 7th of December. Again, nothing official, nothing locked in, but it'll probably be that close. So, yeah, I love reveal season. I love it, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm ready to get some more cards wrong. Yeah, it does. I am very happy that we got our reviews out of the way already, because imagine trying to do that in addition to all these card reviews that are coming soon. That would be kind of insane. Yeah. But
it's been such a weird expansion for a while. Like the release of Stormwind to me didn't feel that long ago. And I don't know why. Like I think it's just the whole Warlock situation sort of made the expansion feel like it wasn't sort of out for an entire month. I don't know. Do you guys agree with that? Like a month and a half of Warlock, and then we eventually got the ban, and things opened up, and it just feels like it wasn't too long ago.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, we had Demon Seed come out, and that was Demon Seed was a deck for like a month and a couple of weeks, and then we finally got the nerfs, and then we lived in Pirate Warrior Odd Hunter Evenlock Stone for about a month, then we saw the mini set come out, we experienced Jerry Rig Stone for a week, and now we're here, and I don't know, like I'm very happy that cards are coming out, because we were just talking about people are getting bored. We're playing Recombobulator and Reno Shaman. Like, it's... We're getting bored, so I'm happy that there's new cards. I really hope... I'm very scared. I'm gonna be completely honest with you guys. I'm very scared. Like, Quest did so much, and they somehow have to top those with this last expansion of the year. And, like, all but confirmed we're getting hero cards for every class. Right? Because these mercenaries are gonna become hero... Like, I believe that has been confirmed.
It's been hinted at a lot on Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm scared, man.
I wouldn't be scared, except they said the heroes are going to be like we've never seen them before or something like that. Like something's going to be different about them. Because like I think like an 8-cost hero would have to be like super strong to scare the quests off. But if it's got some new twist to it, maybe it happens more consistently.
I mean, you can see that they're sort of targeting some of these early off-board damage decks, whether it's Questline Mage or Garrote Rogue. And so it kind of makes a little bit of sense that they might be pushing more towards these higher-costed heroes and trying to make them a bit more of a viable strategy in Standard. As for, like, you know, the whole idea that they have to, like, you know, top themselves and you're kind of scared about what they're going to do, I think the quests are sort of inherently always going to be way better in Wild because the level of synergy that we have is not... The quests are all inherently cards and mechanics that revolve entirely around your card pool and what synergy you have and, like, all that kind of thing. And this is the fact that, you know, we have things like Rapid Fire, right? Like, Rapid Fire makes no sense in terms of how the Hunter quest is balanced, but we have that. And that's why, you know, we get to play our quest rewards out on turn 5. It's pretty unlikely that if they make sort of standalone hero cards that we can make them ever any more broken than they just are, right? Like, because we can't just get the reward down 3 turns earlier than we otherwise would.
You say that, but if they print like another Blood River Gul'dan that's at like 8 mana instead of 10, or a 6 mana Anduin, I feel like... So I gotta be careful on how I say this, but...
Might welcome those.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe. But I would also say that, like, we can't get down the quest faster, right? But we can make them much more broken. Like, Blood River Gul'dan, right, has insane synergy with what Warlock kind of already wanted to do in Wild when it came out. And, like, Shadow Reaper Anduin, right, was... I believe it was not a card when Raza came out for a while, right? If I remember correctly.
No, Anduin came out in KFT and Raza was printed before that. And well,
they were Anduin was only in for like 3 months, is what I'm saying. And then he was there for a year without
Raza. Raza was like a meme until Anduin came out.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I know what you mean. Wait, you're saying that Anduin was in the game longer than Raza. Is that what you're saying? For Standard? Well,
Anduin had this entire year without Raza. But in WoW, we still had Raza Priest, right? So, like, what I'm saying is there will always be much more broken synergies. And I guess I'm worried that if they make them very, very powerful, like, they're still going to break things in our format. But I do agree that they might not be as impactful as Quest because I hate Quest themselves. Like, I am very much in the Kibler train of thought where, like, they make every game... They're so stupid consistent. You always have them in your hand on turn 1. You always complete them by turn 5. And they kind of end the game on turn 7, turn 8 a lot of the time. I'm very much in the Kibler school of thought here when it comes to the quest. But if they print hero cards that are on par with those quest rewards, I'm kind of scared of like what they're going to be and how they might impact the format. I think that's kind of the perspective I'm coming from in regards to the hero cards.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that the rewards by themselves basically have a mana cost, which is, you know, the turn that you play it, right? Like, they're basically an 8 mana card in Standard. And in Wild, they're 5 mana cards. Like, and that's just how it works, because you can't get it down that early. So I think that without actually seeing the cards, I mean, we're speculating cards that we don't even know exist at all, and we're trying to, like, think about, oh, it's going to break Wild. That would be my general guess, I think, that it's probably harder to make them more of an issue in Wild. But I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Let's not get Duma before the expansion is even revealed.
Yeah, fair enough. All right.
I'm more afraid that they won't do anything, to be honest.
I think I have learned my lesson. Hopefully Corb will learn his lesson soon of like, oh, dude, I don't think anything's going to change. We're stuck in Dark Lair mode and... I don't know. I learned my lesson. Have you finally learned your lesson? I guess we'll see when we start.
I've always known that Wild, that the sets have a bigger impact in Wild than I expect. It's just, I can never predict what it's going to be. You know, it's so hard to guess.
Yeah. Dude, it's okay. Raza Hunter's going to be a fun meme deck, but it's going to be worse than Raza Priest, so it's fine, right?
Demon Seed's terrible, right? Like, who would you ever want to? Yeah.
Why would you ever want to pass turn 1 in Pirate Warrior? Come on. Yeah. God. Terrible takes on the state of Wild. God, we could have a whole episode where we just go through and like list all of our clips of our terrible takes about cards, and it'd be, or just terrible takes in general. But that being said, let's talk about some terrible decks that we're all been playing. Let's move on. Let's wrap up. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You brought Reno Shaman, right? Not a terrible deck. Sorry. Yeah, let's talk about our decks of the week. So each of us has brought a deck. We haven't done this segment in a hot minute, but let's talk about. We've each brought a deck that we've been playing and enjoying this week to kind of share with the class. And, you know, whether you're climbing a legend, hanging out in legend, or want to try to climb high ranks, hopefully we've got a little bit of something for everybody. So, Martian, you're our guest. Do you want to share your deck first?
Yeah, so I have this Recombobulator Evenlock I've been playing for like 3 straight days. It's been going really well. Like, I climbed a lot with it. I added a lot of really awkward things, like I added Abyssal Summoners and Demonic Assault to justify having Gul'dan in there so that I actually had some value late game against the Reno Shamans I was encountering. And they're not bad. Like, the Abyssal Summoner taunt comes down with 9 health, so my opponent's giants don't trade into them very cleanly. It takes a giant plus to get through. And Recombobulator has just been a jam. So you play your null, and you hope you don't roll the rabbit. And if you don't, it's probably a good minion.
Deck looks sick. I don't know. I've been a big fan of the Reno Evenlock list, so I see Gul'dan in this, and I'm just like, yes. And also, seeing people buying into Entitled Customer, that gives me life, because I predict this is going to be my strongest card from United and Stormwind. So that actually, like, seeing play, it's like, yes. I'm not as dumb as I think I am.
I would not be playing the deck if it weren't for Entitled Customer. Yes. You absolutely need it to beat the Pain Locks.
Yeah. I wonder, I was just thinking about in Customer in general. Maybe even if you're not extending the curve up all the way to Gul'dan, it's probably just becoming a much better option right now, right? Because of the rise of the Dark Lair Warlock.
And it's probably not bad against Pirate Warrior either, right?
Yeah, I was thinking about that as well, but yeah. I mean, no matter what you do, any defensive card's always going to be terrible against Old Hunter, but I mean, it's also really good in the mirror, right? Like,
I don't consider Odd Hunter when I make anything anymore. I've written off the matchup completely. If I find them, for this deck, you can just, like, get out a Mountain Giant early, and if they don't have Hunter's Mark, it's not worth anything you can do to mitigate the Odd Hunter, Ignite Mage, Celestial Alignment matchups just make me sad against everything else I play, so I don't worry about it.
I mean, it's mainly it's just Evenlock with a twist, but a very, very fun Hyrule-y.
Absolutely.
Insanely.
Yeah, cool. I mean, like, the core of the deck is like, everything that's good about Evenlock is like Mountain Giant, Dark Alley Pact, and Etheron, Null. So, like, everything else, Defile and Drain Soul, of course. But so there's so many slots in there that are kind of like that were like Nerubian Unraveler before.
Yeah.
So you have room to goof off in the Neophyte slots.
Yeah. And maybe they're just good enough, right? They're maybe not even bad. So net deck this list so that we can actually see if Recombobulator is good or not. I kind of want to see. All right, Corb, what do you got for us this week?
Oh, I have Reno Shaman. I have always been a huge Reno Shaman enthusiast, and so I very much enjoyed parting this deck over the past week. I recently picked it up because of, you know, we were talking about the Bug Druid and how it was good in the Bug Druid, and then I kept playing it and I kept winning, even after the bug was fixed. So it's Galakrond Reno Shaman. I don't know, it's really fun. The general idea, you know, there's no really need to go for this infinite Shadowwalk thing. Usually it's just a very high tempo play with the Galakrond, minions already built in. But this deck can go long. It can definitely even outvalue things like Reno Even Warlock. I have tended to feel okay into things like Glare, and Pirate Warrior is a very, very good matchup, I thought. Okay, that might be going a little bit too far. It's a pretty good matchup because the Galaka Crawler and Makor and, just doing those kinds of things. But yeah, I've really enjoyed playing this over the past week, and, you know, there's a whole bunch of people now enthusiastically playing Reno Shaman on ladder.
I have to ask you the question of the Galakrond in the list. I have always never, like, shied away from the Galakrond package in Reno decks because it just feels like it's so inconsistent at, like, invoking the Galakrond. I know it's a little bit different in Shaman because you have the Corrupt Elementalist. But have you, like, had any trouble having, like, a fully invoked Galakrond by, like, turn 7, turn 8?
Yeah, for sure. There are definitely games where I brick out and I only have usually a 4-4, like, at best. But the thing about Shaman is because we're running the Bolner and the Makor, you can kind of get away with running a bit fewer of the invokes. In addition to the fact that we do have the Corrupt Elementalist. And, you know, the fact that we have Primal Engineer, which tends to tutor out the Invocation of Frost pretty consistently. It just means that you're a bit more able to get, like, a bigger Galakrond than you otherwise would be. So, yeah, it sometimes it's an issue, but not as much as you'd expect from a Reno deck.
Have you ever had an issue with having a Novice Engineer in your Shudderwalk pool?
No, I'm never playing this to go infinite, because you just make a whole bunch of 8/8s and a Lothab effect goes off and the opponent dies. I don't think I've ever had a game where I played more than 2 Shudderwalks and the game didn't end one way or the other.
Makes sense.
Yeah. That doesn't sound very fun, though. Like, how are you going to be playing Shudderwalk and not going infinite? Like, come on.
No, this is fun. This is fun, guys. You don't need to do infinite Shudderwalks. You just play 8/8s and you make 8/8s and the opponent portrait blows up. Just as wild should always, you know, should always play out.
Will always be. Yeah, I've been playing a sort of similar list. I haven't been running the Galakrond stuff because, like I said, I've never been a fan because of inconsistencies. But I don't know. I will say the 8/8s and the 2/1s are probably making the Pirate Warrior matchup a lot better than the non-Galakrond versions are. Because, like I said, I almost lost a fatigue battle against Pirate Warrior because, I got to play 3 or 4 Shadowwalks and then it whiffed on me once because it didn't have the the barista in the pool. It's like it whiffed on me, but I've been running like Spirit. Like, I saw Spirit Echo being played a little bit against me, and it was one of those like biases of like it's always really good when it's played against me, so I want to try it out. And like playing it on a Flurgal Talks and having 2 Flurgal Talks is kind of gross. Like, it is very gross. But I guess there are a couple of options out there if you don't want to play the Galakrond package, but I think you would say that Galakrond makes your matchups into stuff like Dark Lord and Pirate Warrior better than not having them.
I mean, I didn't really try any non-Galakrond versions, okay. But there's a reason why I played this version, because I do think the Galakrond package is pretty okay, and probably worth it, just since we do have the Bolner and the McCaw now. Previously, I would have been on your line of thought, you know, not really wanting it, but I think the Bolner and McCaw tip it over the edge.
All right, now let's go to the meme deck for everybody to have fun with at rank 4s. Let's talk about some Miracle Rogue. So this is an idea that I kind of stole from, God, I'm never going to get this name right, but
OTZ.
Yeah, OTZ, all right. Yeah. I thought you were going to hit me with the whole name. I was preparing myself. But I've kind of refined it a little bit based on my playing it, what I find more fun. God, dude, Scabs and Potion of Illusion turns are some of the most fun I've had playing Hearthstone in a very, very long time. It is super sick to do Foxy, Scabs, Potion of Illusions alongside an Edwin and doing that like 4 times in a row. And then, just in case you fail, you have this like Smite OTK with Tenues and Shadow Steps if you really need it. Like, this deck is very, very fun. Similar to what Martian was saying against... It kind of sucks against stuff like Ignite Mage and Odd Hunter and Celestial Druids, but you just kind of pretend like they don't exist. And I actually had a very good win rate into Pirate Warrior with this deck, which is very strange. But it's very simple, where you make like a 16-16 Edwin on turn 3 or turn 4, and Pirate Warriors don't run Hunter's Mark. They can't really deal with the 16-16 Edwin, and you just kind of kill them. So the deck's been a ton of fun to play, and I highly recommend you guys check it out. It's a very difficult deck to play, because of like sequencing and making sure that you have enough mana for everything and making sure that you're popping off on the right turn. But I think it's very, very, very rewarding when you do. So
yeah, I played this game. I played this deck for like 3 or 4 games and I thought my head was going to explode. I rope out a lot. I roped out every turn, I think, when I was trying to figure out how to do everything with the potion and the Tenwu and the scabs. Oh, it was all very complicated. But I really, really like this deck, and I love this direction for Rogue and Wild. I mean, it's very scammy and high rolly and BS, but you know, this is Wild Hearthstone, so you know, we take that. But yeah, I love the scab stuff. It's so cool. So yeah, very sweet list.
OTZ made this look like so much fun, and I tried it to bad results. I didn't do very well with it, but
no, me neither.
it's because we're not as skilled. All right, that's what I'm gonna keep telling myself.
he tends to win when he plays enough Lothebs against me. Like on the third or fourth turn of Lotheb, that's when it's like, all right, I guess I lose.
Yeah, I feel like this is gonna be kind of the direction that like the standard rogues take, right? Which is like good stuff rogue now that Garrote is nerfed. Obviously they don't have stuff like Lotheb and all of that, but just kind of like good old tempo rogue. And so I'd be very interested to see kind of the route they take with that in standard and maybe steal some of their ideas over here in wild.
Yeah, people have been playing something relatively similar, but we get a lot of options in wild that make a lot of the stuff just feel more cohesive. Just the fact that we have like Edwin, right, is a really big
Which one?
the wild Edwin Mia, the one that they don't have in standard. The fact that we have the Van Cleef, the non-Defias Kingfin one, just makes like step and prep and things like that a lot better. And even, you know, even that Lothab effect, it's a lot harder to deal with an Edwin with a 20/20 when your spells cost a lot of mana. So I think it makes a lot of sense in... you know, like we just get a lot of really cool stuff to play with, is what I'm saying, compared to standard.
Yeah. I think my one hesitation with this deck was that I was finding it very hard to proc my Octobots, and so I was playing a bunch of stuff to try to proc it. But it turns out that, like, when you just play out a 1/4 against Pirate Warrior on turn 2, they can't really do anything about it, and so you get the free proc anyways. And, like, Auditor... If they're using a Hunter's Mark on your Octobot, like, you're kind of okay with that, because that means they don't have it for your big-ass Edwin that you're making two turns later. So, it's kind of been okay that you don't have ways to proc your own Octobot, except for the Evil Lock or Dark Lairs, because they have Null. And so you're trying to, like, backstab your own Octobot.
Yeah, plunder. But... Yeah.
I don't like using my Plunder against Dark Lair, because...
No.
Yeah. So that's why we're trying out like the SI extortion and the backsteps in this list. But in general, the deck is a ton of fun to play. It's probably been my favorite deck of United and Stormwind, to be completely honest with you, outside of like Reno Evenlock, that I like overdid myself on once. I burned myself out of even Reno Lock after like 200 games in like 2 weeks. So
that'll do it.
Yeah. But this deck is a ton of fun, and I highly recommend checking it out. Very, very fun to play. Alright, that being said, I think it's that time. It's that time of the episode where we're going to have to wrap things up. Martian, thank you again for joining us this week. Appreciate you. For the people that don't know where to find you on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, all that kind of good stuff, let them know where they can find you streaming wild.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I stream on Twitch, Martian Boo. Same name on YouTube. I try to post just about every day these days. So come check me out. It's Pacific Mornings that I stream on Twitch.
And you definitely need to check out his content. His content is very, very high quality. And speaking of high quality, we got Corbett over here. Corbett, thank you again for joining me week after week. Let the people know where they can find you.
Guys, you can find me on all the good platforms at Corbett Games. So that's Corbett Games. Thank you for listening/watching.
Yeah, dude, I thought that transition was high quality myself. I'm very proud of myself on that one. Thin air. All right. You guys can find me at GetMeElf, Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, all that kind of good stuff as well. I've been getting back into the YouTube game myself. I didn't play for like 4 or 5 days because of the Druid bug. And so I was like, well, I guess I have nothing better to do, right, than to make content. I have no more excuses. So got back into the YouTube game myself. So make sure you guys check me out there if you guys want to find more quality content. And of course, you guys can check out the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you find all your other podcasts. Make sure you guys check us out there if you guys want to listen on the go. Appreciate you guys listening all the way to the end. We hope you guys have a good one. See you guys again next week. Later.